God is at work. He's bringing glory to his name in all kinds of ways, but especially as the gospel is preached and new people come to faith in Christ, churches are formed and built up. God is at work in all kinds of ways, and we praise his name. I bring you greetings from all the Brethren in Christ missionaries and churches all around the world. I'll be talking today about some of those missionaries by name. I'll be showing the photos of some of them. I bring you greetings from all of them. And from our staff at Grantham, we have a staff who oversees the work of missions. And thanks to you for your work in missions through so many years. Teams going to Swaziland. Jessica Mengel, now Jessica Mengel Kumar, and maybe all kinds of other ways you've been involved in missions that I don't know about. Thank you that you have a heart for the worldwide family of God, the worldwide kingdom of God. Yes, God is at work here and in Harrisburg, and you ought to be involved in it, but you ought also to continue your involvement in world missions, and I bless you for doing. For my message, we're going to begin with a look at Jesus and one of his teachings to his disciples. And so I'll turn to the scripture, in the scriptures, to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bible, I invite you to follow along, or you can just listen as I talk. Matthew chapter 9. In a moment, I'll read starting at verse 37, but let's look at the setting, the background. In verse 35, we learn that Jesus was going through all the towns and villages, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and healing people. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He thought they were like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion. One evening, Jolene and I were in a restaurant, and the server was a pleasant woman who enjoyed conversation. And she said, as she talked, that she never got married. She was engaged three different times, but each time she thought, oh, this fellow isn't right, so she never got married. She broke off those relationships. But she says, I do have two children, one to one man, one to another man, and now I have two grandchildren. What would Jesus think of that person? Well, from this story and others, I think we know what he would think. He would look toward her with compassion. He would care about her. He'd look beneath the surface. So later in our meal, we got to talk with this server some more and to pray with her. Jesus' compassion. Your compassion. Back in verse 36, Jesus thought these crowds of people were like shepherdless sheep. So here is the text, verses 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So here Jesus gives an assignment for prayer. And along with that assignment, he shows what is close to his heart. And what is it that is close to the heart of Jesus? Well, it's harvest. In a farming community like Pennsylvania has a lot of farms, when we think of harvest, we usually think of big, powerful machines moving through the fields. But of course, for most of human history, and for much of the world today, the harvest takes place on a far more personal scale, as you see in this marvelous photo by Tim Kochenour. For Jesus, of course, when he talks about harvest, it's not wheat or corn or rice, but people. People who are ready to hear the good news about God's love and God's kingdom and God's work. He's talking about a spiritual harvest. Now, we can think of this harvest both locally and worldwide. And of course, my comments today, since the focus is on world missions, my comments will be mostly about the worldwide harvest. Jesus says a surprising thing. There is a plentiful harvest. If you think nobody here is interested in the gospel, maybe you're not listening right. If you think nobody around the world is interested in Jesus, maybe you're not looking right. There's a plentiful harvest, he said. But at the moment, the worker staff is limited. So Jesus proceeds to lay out a two-part plan. Part one, the disciples are to pray. Part two, God, the Lord of the harvest, will send out workers into this plentiful harvest. And that plan that Jesus gave that day is still in effect now. You and other brethren in Christ churches have been praying for workers, and God is answering your prayers. So for the rest of my message, I invite you to think with me about workers for the harvest, the people God is sending out in response to your prayers. So to help you participate in the message, if you wish, if you got the bulletin packet, you have this outline of the message, and it's an incomplete outline so that you can get involved if you wish, that is, if you have a pencil or pen, or if your neighbor does. And so you can follow along and enter things in. We've already given the scripture, Matthew 9, 37 to 38. Matthew 9, 37 to 38. Workers in God's harvest field. Who are these people and what in the world are they doing? All right, number one, let's start with the numbers. They are 76 workers in 23 nations. Over half of these people serve in a Brethren in Christ ministry in some country, such as Thailand, Mozambique, Malawi, Guatemala. And then in addition to them, in a BIC setting, we also have a number of workers who serve in other agencies in places where we don't have a ministry, but they value their connection with their home denomination, the Brethren in Christ. And so we call them partner missionaries or associate missionaries. Here's an associate missionary family who left their comfortable life in South Florida to serve among the indigenous tribes of people in the Amazon forest in Ecuador. Yosuel Medina, his wife, three children. They're the first Brethren in Christ missionaries to go to Ecuador. They're the only ones so far to work among the indigenous tribes of the Amazon. So the Medinas work in evangelism, discipleship, and raise up pastors and train leaders. Now, here is what a well-dressed pastor wears in the Amazon. Don't you love it? Yes, this is one of our Brethren in Christ pastors here with his family. Around the world, the Brethren in Christ family doesn't all look like us. They don't all dress like us. The BIC family is beautiful and diverse. Do you think we could get Pastor Chad to dress like this? Or John Halbaker? Not very likely. Culture is so important. Our workers, when you add together all that I've talked about, all the workers, you get the figures we saw a moment ago if you're taking notes. 76 workers in 23 nations. Now, 23 nations includes the United States. We have several ministries among the Navajo people in New Mexico, a couple serving international students in Lexington, Kentucky, and a woman reaching out to Muslim people in Dearborn, Michigan. If you picked up the bulletin, you probably got this little piece. It's a map of the world with tiny photos of our missionaries and where they serve. We offer to you as a resource for your prayer ministry. Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. You can pray for the workers who have already gone out and pray for more workers, as Jesus said. Then here is our director of world missions, Jonathan Lloyd. He and the Commission for World Missions are considering new places where we might send missionaries, very likely to Athens, Greece, to work among refugees who are coming there from Syria and other places in the Middle East. We're talking about workers for the harvest. So the next thing we want to say is a comment about diversity. They come in many colors, sizes, personalities, and gifts or training. Think of that. This is the diversity of our brethren in Christ workers. Many colors, sizes, personalities, and gifts. So let's consider a few examples of these workers. The first couple, this is a village visitor, a string bean of a man who runs marathon races and with a big smile takes Bible studies into Muslim villages in Malawi, Doug Miller. A burly farmer who raises animals and slaughters sheep for a feast and loves and serves the Navajo Nation, Jason Oberholzer in New Mexico. A woman of prayer and faith who was a school teacher here in U.S. and is now a strategist, preacher, evangelist, pastor, and baptizer in Thailand, KG. For security reasons, we don't always give the full name of some of our workers. Sometimes we don't give the exact country because of safety issues and because we want them to be able to continue there long term in preaching the gospel. Next. A chemistry teacher and a musician who use their work for witness and who serve in church planting, Mr. and Mrs. K in Spain. A former banker and a nurse who serve as administrative coordinators for four nations in southern Africa, Donald and Karen Bundla in Zimbabwe. And then a carpenter turned church planter. How do you like that? He has planted churches in three nations. I think he's the only Brethren in Christ person who has done that. Three nations, in U.S., in Mexico, and now in Guatemala, Mike Castle and his wife, Lori. So, what do these people have in common? Well, let's go back to number two. There are some things they don't have in common. They're varied in many ways. But listen, at a deeper level, the level that counts, they have in common the things that matter most: an unswerving commitment to Jesus Christ and a passion to see new people come to Christ and be brought into church units and discipled for the Savior. That's what unites these people. I've narrated now just a small sample of our 76 workers. They are all ordinary people, in one hand, and yet extraordinary because of their devotion to Jesus, to bringing lost people to Christ and building up healthy churches all over the world. These are workers for the spiritual harvest that Jesus talked about. Now, be assured of this. Whatever personality or training or gifts or limitations that anyone has, God can use that person in world missions. Isn't that great? Whatever the training or limitations even, God can use that person. God may be calling more missionaries from this church or from your family. I'd like to repeat that. These days, God may be calling more missionaries from this church, from your children and your teenagers. Parents, I have a suggestion for you. The teens are not here in the service, and that's okay. They have their other program. Over lunch today, or when you can, you might say, "Hey, let me tell you what the crazy preacher said in our service this morning." This old man who loves missions said, "God may be calling missionaries from our church," and ask your kids, "What do you think of that?" You see, Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest, to God, to call and send out workers. And in some ways, it's a very dangerous prayer. You can see what happens. If you're praying this prayer, God might call the person next to you or the person on the other side of you. Or he might call you or your children. What do you think is the best success for your children? Good job, big house, lots of money. Well, those things might not be bad. But what if Jesus is calling my children to world missions? Will I bless them and celebrate that? The right answer is yes. Let everyone say yes. Okay. Maybe not everyone, but that's okay. The next slide, more about these workers. What do they do? What in the world are these harvest workers doing? Well, for the most part, they work in evangelism and church planting. And the churches they plant are often small, sometimes meeting in homes. You may remember that house churches were the norm in the New Testament, and they are still the norm in many places around the world. And so some of our churches that are planted are bigger, but many of them are smaller. Our workers are making disciples. That's what Jesus commanded. Go and make disciples, which includes baptizing them and teaching them everything that Jesus has taught us. Consider the nation of Mozambique in southern Africa. We have 116 Brethren in Christ churches in Mozambique with about 6,000 members. They hold services in 10 different languages throughout the nation. It may be the fastest growing Brethren in Christ Church in the world. All the pastors, all the denominational leaders are Mozambicans. We have one missionary couple who lived there for several years, Orville and Cheryl Haid, and they worked in leadership training. And Orville is continuing this work in short-term assignments, living in U.S., but taking short-term assignments to Southern Africa. Leadership training, friends, this is an urgent need around the world in our mission work and Eastern Mennonite mission and others. The Brethren in Christ in a recent year provided training to 1,500 international leaders. We awarded 250 Bible school scholarships to ministers. Thank you for this part in this ministry of leadership training. Thank you for your part in prayer and your part in financial giving. However, the work goes on. Some of our missionaries serve in works of compassion. Dr. Mark Roth and his wife Maggie serve in Zambia at Macha Hospital. He's the administrator and surgeon at the hospital. Maggie works in speech therapy and help for people with hearing difficulties. And throughout all the world, all of our workers do occasional relief and compassion work as needs arise. Now, the saddest story I know about hunger and our Brethren in Christ family comes from Mozambique. In recent years, there was a triple tragedy of no rain, no crops, and armed rebels frightening the villages and killing people. As a result of that, in the rural areas, people were starving. And some of our Brethren in Christ members starved to death. I can't imagine the pain of parents who are nearing death. And you can't send your kids for food because the next county has no food, the next county has no food. And it's just very painful to think of our own brothers and sisters starving to death. Well, thank God, Brethren in Christ Church has a global compassion fund with money in it. And so we sent money and workers to check things out and get food to them. And to my knowledge, there are no Brethren in Christ people starving now in Mozambique. And the food relief has gone to other people too, not just our members. So the work of Christ is big and broad. You knew this, but I'm glad to invite you to celebrate with me. The work of evangelism, yes. The work of church planting, yes. And works of compassion and relief where they're needed. So we're going on. What do our missionaries do? Well, some of them work with Muslims, and they're seeing Muslims come to faith in Christ. Here you see the Grand Mosque in Mecca, and you may know Mecca in Saudi Arabia is one of the holiest, is the holiest city in the Muslim faith. It was the place where their Prophet Muhammad lived for a while. I suppose you know that radical Islam is a serious threat to Christians and to world peace. I hope you also know that many Muslims are not radical. They are ordinary people who want to live in peace and raise their children to be good citizens, just like you want to live in peace and want to raise your children. But they also need Jesus, just like you and your neighbors. So we're reaching out to Muslims with the gospel, primarily in four locations. That is in Malawi, the Middle East, two cities in the U.S., and then through the international ministry of Jay Smith, who does a lot with teaching, speaking, YouTube, and such like. In each location where we work with Muslims, the approach is a bit different. Adjusting the method that will best reach the people in this area. But we are one team, presenting Christ in ways that are appropriate for that setting. Our goal in this and all our missions is like what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means I might save some. Isn't that marvelous? Now, when Paul said he'll become all things, he didn't mean he'll give up his Christian way and live in sin just like they live in sin so they can feel good about him. No. But inasmuch as appropriate, he adapted himself, his language, his ways to the people he wanted to reach because he desperately wanted them to have a fair hearing of the gospel. And that's our missionaries. They do a variety of things to adapt their language and culture and approach so that these people will hear the gospel truly and have an opportunity to believe and be saved. Here in Harrisburg, where Jolene and I lived for 8 years, you heard we now live at Mechanicsburg at Messiah Village. But in Harrisburg, God has opened up a door of friendship for us with three Pakistani Muslim families. They've opened their homes and their hearts to us. So we get together with them regularly, in their home or ours. We talk about Jesus. We pray for them in Jesus' name. I ask them if that's okay. Oh, yes, they said, we believe that Jesus is a prophet. Well, we know he's more than a prophet, but at least they allow me to pray in Jesus' name. And so we thank God for our Muslim friends. And we're praying that they'll become devoted followers of Christ, just like I'm praying that you will be devoted followers of Christ. Do you know any Muslims personally? In the Harrisburg area, some people never really meet a Muslim face-to-face, and some do. So if you know any Muslims, are you finding them open to conversations about the Bible and Jesus? Perhaps you will as God opens doors. What do our workers do? That's what we're talking about. Well, sometimes they meet with setbacks and opposition. Problems with visas, health challenges, low financial support. In Thailand, sometimes the local Buddhist monks oppose our believers and try to discredit the gospel message. Some of the stories from our mission field do not have a victorious ending. Not yet. The stories aren't over. God is still writing. And of course, the worldwide pandemic complicated things for our workers. Our workers do meet with troubles of many kinds. But they don't stop. They pray, persevere, look for alternative ways to witness. They press forward, knowing that God is at work in all things. And they also learn to wait. Please join them and us. Please join in fervent prayer that God will display his power, defeat evil spirits, and lift up the name of Jesus all over the world. In some ways, we think of our missionaries as superheroes. They leave home and friends. They put their hearts into the task of loving people and telling them about Jesus. And it always feels good to serve God and serve people when there are miracles and conversions and your health is good. But what about when the way becomes hard and the success stories are few and you fall and break your back and are paraplegic, as happened with Barb Miller in Malawi? Earlier we saw a photo of Doug and Barb. Barb is in a wheelchair for the rest of her life and is still a missionary. Praise the Lord. Or what if the new believers stop meeting with you? And with all of these setbacks, you're aware that the people back home are looking for success stories. The financial donors are looking for success stories. And what do you do in cases that like that? Well, through the power of the living Christ, you keep serving anyway, or you back up and rest so that you can return to serve with strength. Our global workers serve in strength some days and in weakness other days. They seek to live out the testimony of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in clay jars, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. Yes, we have our weaknesses. Yes, we have our setbacks. We're just clay pots. But the power in us, the power upon us, is from God, and we celebrate that. Workers in the harvest, they serve in strength and weakness just like you do here. Well, there you have six important things about our missionaries. God has been at work in all kinds of ways in response to your prayers. That's the point of what Jesus said. So how can I be involved in the worldwide work of the brethren in Christ in particular? I'm so glad you asked. Here are the three commonest ways. You would have guessed them even if I hadn't told you. We've talked a lot about prayer today, or giving financially, or serving in a short-term trip or a long-term missionary service. Many thanks to you all as a congregation and to you personally, individually, for all that you're doing to be involved in worldwide outreach and the outreach of the Brethren in Christ World Mission. As God speaks to you, I urge you, be ready to take any new steps that God may prompt you to take in regard to world missions. What might some of those possible responses be? Well, something like this. I will pray more regularly and more specifically for our present workers and for God to call new missionaries. We have prayer resources at a display table in the lobby. Please stop by the table. We'd be glad to meet you. We'd be glad to share with you some additional prayer resources beside the map that you already have. And if you failed to get a map, come by the table. We'll be glad to give you one. Or you might resolve this. I will encourage a specific missionary through some letters or emails, some contact, on a more or less regular basis. Or you might say, God, you're speaking to me about giving financially or increasing my giving, and I will do it. And if God calls me to be a missionary, I will say, yes, Lord, and I will prepare and go where you send. If you or your family members have any interest in what it means to be a missionary, please stop by the table. I'd love to meet you and talk with you about these things. We can help a person who has a bit of interest in missions to discern whether, in fact, they are called to missions, and then to help them prepare for that work in meaningful ways. Well, I'm just about finished, but do you have any questions or comments? Is there anything you want to say or that you want to ask? If not, that's fine. Yes, go ahead. question is, I referred to Mozambique and the famine and the starvation. How was it allowed to get to that extreme case when we had missionaries there? The answer is that we had missionaries at another location, that the communication is not easy in rural Mozambique, that while they knew about hunger, they didn't know about the severity of it until the reports came back about starvation. Now, we are so accustomed to all kinds of media and immediate news, that's very hard for us to understand. But that's what I understand is the situation. And as soon as they knew about it, they checked it out and talked with U.S. about how can we get money from the Global Compassion Fund. Perhaps the connections are stronger now, and that could never happen again, perhaps. Thank you for the heart you have to ask such a question. Any other comments or questions? Jesus speaks. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. That's Jesus' word to the church today. Yes, praying for workers locally, right here in your community, that is so important. And praying for workers for the cross-cultural harvest around the world. There's a plentiful spiritual harvest, and you can have a meaningful part in it. Heavenly Father, we honor you as Lord of the whole earth, and as the one whose heart of love goes out to all people. Grant that this church, New Hope, will continue in meaningful ways of worldwide impact. We pray in Jesus' name.